Gasolinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage, and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Those are Muslim demonstrators in violent protest again today in Kabul, Afghanistan, over the publication in Europe of some cartoon images of the Prophet Muhammad. President Bush is calling on nations around the world to stop the violent. And Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Iran and Syria have gone out of their way to inflame sentiments and to use this to their own purposes. And the world ought to call them on it.
At the Brookings Institution, Michael O'Hanlon on the political drumbeaters feeding the frenzy.
You have a combination of, I think, legitimate and deeply felt religious objection together with political opportunism and just part of this growing problem between the Western world and the Islamic world.
A naturalized American citizen, Shawki Omar, is being held by Iraqi officials on suspicion of being one of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi's senior operatives. Omar's lawyer wants him released, untrusting of Iraqi courts.
First, he will not receive any kind of fair process there. It will be a kangaroo court. And second, because in Iraqi custody, it is likely he will be tortured.
That's lawyer Jonathan Hafitz. U.S. officials familiar with the case say it should stay in the Iraqi courts, and Omar is a former National Guardsman. Members of the Congress are moving rapidly toward some kind of reform of the lobbying business in Washington. Today, the Senate Rules Committee opened hearings.
Senators from both parties who've long worked on ethics told the Rules Committee this is the time, spurred by scandal, to get things done. The proposals from Republican John McCain and Democrats Russ Feingold and Barack Obama are all pretty similar. They want to end gifts from lobbyists, free trips from everybody, rides on corporate jets, and do something about the thousands of lobbyist-generated earmarks, spending items stuck quietly into bigger bills to hide who really wants them.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss on the Hill. The administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is at the Senate today to talk about problems in the prescription drug program, which Mark McClellan says are not the routine.
The vast majority of the millions of beneficiaries who have enrolled are using their new drug coverage successfully. Plans are now filling more than a million prescriptions a day.
McClellan acknowledged there are problems, and he says they are being addressed. She invented one of America's favorite snacks. Not just any chip, that's a tortilla chip. And Rebecca Webb Carranza invented them. Her family's tortilla factory used to have lots of extra tortilla pieces, so she took them home, cut them into triangles, and deep-fried them for friends. Big hit. Rebecca Carranza has died in Phoenix, Arizona. She was 98. At the Chicago Auto Show, it's as though automakers didn't hear the big is out news. Toyota and GM and others are introducing new big SUVs for the marketplace they think has not yet dried up. The biggest, however, comes from International. The MXT has a big diesel V8. It can tow 8 tons, 85 grand loaded. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 109 points. The Nasdaq picked up about 22 on the day. This is CBS News.
Listen up, fellow travelers. If you're like me, you've got places to go and rewards to collect. That's why Econolodge and Roadway Inn Hotels are the best deal around. You'll earn double stamps toward free nights with the Easy Choice Rewards program. And before you can say adios, the rewards are adding up like nobody's business. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com for the best rate guaranteed. We'll see you there.
Earn 2 stamps per night for qualifying stays between 2-1 and 4:30-06. Maximum 10 stamps per stay. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
Want to be a big hit this Valentine's? You need to know 1-800-Flowers.com. They have the ultimate Valentine's gifts, and the flowers always get rave reviews. Tulips, roses, orchids, they're all gorgeous. And 1-800-Flowers.com delivers their flowers at the peak of perfection, even same day. And you can add chocolates or a teddy bear to any bouquet to make the perfect gift even more perfect. Just call or log on to 1-800-Flowers.com today and mention Lisa. You'll save 10% on anything you order. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/radio for details.
The Grammys will be handed out tonight in Los Angeles. WTOP reporter Christy King with a little trivia.
How well do you know the Grammy nominees?
Oh, Gold Digger. We know Gold Digger.
Yeah, Kanye West. That's
up for record of the year.
Money. Yeah. When I'm in need.
When I'm in need.
Queen.
That's it.
Also up for Record of the Year and Best Pop Vocal Album.
Of course I know Holla Back Girl by Gwen Stefani.
A few times we've been around that track, but it's not just going to happen like that because it ain't no Holla Back Girl. It ain't no Holla Back Girl.
Bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Christy King for CBS News, Washington.
There's a new method of testing fast foods, and McDonald's says it is bad news for fat counters. Mickey D's French fries contain a third more trans fatty acids than had been thought based on the new tests. And overall, fat is up, too, by about 25%. It's all in how you count it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Ever wish upon a star?
Not lately.
Open your Valentine's present.
Wow, you named a star after me?
Let's wish on it. Wish for us.
It's the best Valentine's gift ever. For $54, International Star Registry will record your star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office and send you a beautiful gift package. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's 800-282-3333 or starregistry.com.
Let's wish for forever.
I love you.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show on this summer day in February. Up and down the left coast, we've got some great conversation coming your way the next 3 hours. You're looking for progressive talk radio? Well, you're going to get what's coming. Lots of room for your phone calls today. We have some interesting guests on the program as usual, but extra room for your participation. Coming up next hour, Marjorie Cohn, professor of constitutional law, joins us for the first segment to give us her analysis of the NSA spying scandal and the hearings before the Judiciary Committee on Monday. We'll particularly talk about why Alberto Gonzalez didn't want to be sworn under oath. Also on the program today at 5 o'clock, Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative reporter for RawStory.com. They've got new evidence of links between Jack Abramoff and George W. Bush. And Bush says, I don't know if I even met the guy. Also, I will be commenting on the remarks made by Darth Cheney, the vice president, commandeered more than half an hour of public television's news hour last night to sustain the same kind of crap, you know, the denials and the half-truths about the spying scandal, claiming that they have sufficient legal authority to do this. And, of course, very few, even Republicans, agree with him on that. We'll talk about that as the time comes a little bit later on the program. And every week or so, we try to make room for Scott Dick here on our program. He is a retired Army major, also served in the Marines, and he is our contributor on military and veterans issues. He's with us this entire hour. And as usual, your calls are welcome if you want to comment on the matters we're discussing. 831-899-5792 is our number on the Central Coast. That's a local call. 831-899-5792, and you can reach us toll-free from anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And if you want to email me, drop me a note, Peter, at krxa540.com. Scott Dick, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Peter. I had to go to shorts and tank tops out here in Carmel Valley.
I understand. It is beautiful up and down the coast, some places into the 80-degree range.
It's, I believe so. It's got to be close to that here.
A reminder of why we like to live on the earthquake-prone left coast.
That's a fact.
Well, Scott, I want to touch on a few things, and I'm sure you've got some items to contribute to our discussion this hour. But there's a new plan for fighting terrorism that came out of the Pentagon. There is a new budget proposal for the Pentagon from the Bush administration, and there is some talk of, also there was the surprise amendment to the State of the Union message. Apparently the line just dropped out of the speech about the extra $70 billion supplemental, primarily for Iraq, that the president just couldn't bring himself to ask for in the speech itself. And also, I've heard rumblings that the Pentagon is finally responding to the strain on reservists and National Guard units and is trying to ratchet down their participation in the occupation there in Iraq. So those are some of the things I want to cover this coming hour. And maybe you want to put a few on the agenda just to put them on the board here, and then we'll dive into the first topic.
Well, I think I want to add the fact that the budget chickens are coming home to roost for the military and reserves and retirees.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I'd like to talk about briefly.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly get into that. Okay. So the Pentagon budget request is just shy of $440 billion this year. It's a 7% increase over the $410 billion that Congress coughed up last year. And as usual, the Enron accounting techniques are used so that the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, those are off budget, and those are dealt with through these supplemental appropriations. We can talk about that in a bit. But what's your sense of this budget? Is it sufficient to really fund the needs that we know about from, trying to enhance recruitment to the cost of unanticipated expenses like body armor and Humvee upgrades in Iraq? On down the line, is this enough money in your opinion?
Well, no, to be frank. And second, the fact that it's $70 billion short for ongoing expeditionary costs in Iraq is second. And third, they're trying to make a trade in the budget for basically weapon systems off the backs of military retirees and active duty. The pay raise they're proposing for the 07 cycle is the lowest since 1994, 2.2%.
Oh, boy.
So then when you add that the health insurance, health care costs for, and they did this sort of interestingly, for retirees under 65, they want to triple their insurance costs. And that's a big thing for people who are nearing retirement or thinking about retirement. That's something that all of the military veterans organizations are actually banding together to fight. And some people in Congress. So if the budget was big enough to cover all that, they wouldn't have to be deciding between health care for retirees and the X-22 jet fighter.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say triple, that's the cost borne by the service member or retiree.
Right, the actual premiums that they pay, the deductibles they pay, those kind of catastrophic deductibles, et cetera. The Joint Chiefs of Staff is actually considering sending a letter to Congress asking why they are telling them why they're proposing these increases. And somebody, and I wish I had who it was, said that, well, this brings it more in line with what it costs civilians to have medical care.
Oh, great.
Right, exactly.
That's a competition nobody wants to win.
And frankly, what they're trying to do is to get people in the military retirement medical system to leave their, it's sort of a Walmart approach to medical insurance. They're trying to force people to go back, either get jobs that have medical insurance or to rely heavily on the people that have their own. You know, for example, a retiree gets out, he gets a job, he's got medical insurance. They already have to file for that against that medical policy now. So I'm not quite sure. They're trying to just shift the cost over to somebody else, and yet they're accepting this 300% to 500% increase in weapons, but they don't want to increase they don't want to accept the increases in medical care. I don't understand that. And frankly, neither do the other leaders of these veterans groups.
Mm-hmm. And if you know, what are the rough proportions of personnel costs to hardware costs in the annual Pentagon budget? Just a ballpark.
That I don't. Peter, I'd hate to just. I'd just be lying if I made a guess.
Okay.
But if you give me a few minutes, maybe when we're talking about something else, I can. Dig it up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't want you to lie.
No. Heck no.
And maybe we should swear you in.
Oh, see, yeah, if I worked for the administration, you wouldn't have to, because then I could say whatever I wanted to. But since I don't work for the administration, maybe, they'll want to catch me in a lie.
Now, as a retiree, have you received notice of expected increases in your health insurance premiums?
No, not so far.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, for healthy retirees, it's kind of a funny thing. If a lot of people who've been in the military have basically sort of a better health profile up to a certain point. You know, within a few years after retirement, because they've spent so much time being looked after and with, you know, all the medical tests and medical care plus physical fitness requirements and body fat requirements, it takes several years, you know, 5, 10, 12 years for a person to get out of shape and become the sedentary sort of civilian, if you will. Sorry, but that's kind of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So for me and a lot of other people my age, the carcinogens are great. It's when you start getting in the later on when you have people that are expanding cases of obesity in prior military retirees, and that's when the costs really go up between, I would say, between 55 and 65.
Well, and we'll try to keep the Pentagon from learning that in your spare time you host a food and wine show, which they might think could contribute to a decline in your health.
Yeah, that's good. Let's keep that secret.
We will. All right, we're going to take a break and continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. Next up, I want to ask him about this new plan, the new classified counterterrorism strategy issued by the Pentagon February 1st. We'll talk about that and other issues as we continue. Join the conversation on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll free from anywhere else within the sound of my voice, it's 888-579-2540. You dial 1. And then 3-8s, and then 579, and then 2540. And if it's a cell phone, be sure to press send, okay? 316 now, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just-renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We continue our weekly GabFest with Scott Dick, military and veterans advisor to the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open for you if you'd like to comment or ask a question, 831-899-5792 or toll-free on 1-888-579-2540. And one of the beauties of the lengthy commercial breaks we have in AM Talk Radio is that a guy like Scott can jump on the Internet and get an answer to the question that I stumped him with just 6 minutes ago. And so I asked, just in round numbers, what the percentage of the Pentagon budget is that goes to personnel costs and how much is reserved for hardware and weapons systems acquisition and development, that sort of thing.
Peter, are you there?
Yes, I am. I can hear you.
Oh, sorry. Well, here's the way it breaks down. First of all, total in personnel and operations, feeding, clothing, et cetera, for the services, $112 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Army, a total is $99.2 billion, and for military personnel themselves, it's $40.6 billion. So we have procurement at $11 billion, operations and maintenance $30 billion, military construction $2.4 billion, Army family housing $1.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So the cost of military retiree health care costs, and that's a number that's important because that's what happens to all the...
Their methods of communication and their ability to move around the globe. It also orders the military to focus on terrorist information gathering systems, red flag, personnel, and ideology. And I'm curious because my first question is a very basic one, Scott, and that is the military, the formal... uniformed members in service, are they really the best front line against these disparate terrorist cells that are secreted in different places around the world? It comes down to a basic question. Is the Pentagon too cumbersome and just too big and focused on battlefields as opposed to niches, nooks, crannies, and caves in South Waziristan?
Well, I think there's two parts of that. There's one is that's big and ugly and bristling with armor and that kind of thing is precisely what the force is intended to do, which is to act as a deterrent against conventional warfare. So to answer your question, yes, and that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. They're supposed to be that big blundering bull in a china shop, as far as I'm concerned, with tanks and Bradleys and heavy artillery and attack helicopters. Now, as far as the clandestine counterinsurgency kind of thing, I think that's why the Army is adding 55,000 special operations forces. Still, they act as a uniform service, a uniform force. And anytime you start throwing the guys around at night in uniforms, they're still a uniform force. So I'm not sure that the Army acting alone, even in special forces, special operations, is the best force for that. I mean, it really takes a sort of joint effort, and that is a buzzword in the military. That means all four services working together.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's finding and capturing or neutralizing, whatever euphemism you want to use to eliminate terrorists, it seems to me about 95% of it's all after the fact. Prevention is so little part of their game plan. This document looks to me like actually a sort of a post-event kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the chairs, coming together and working on the Long War, they call it. You know where they took that from, right?
Tell me.
Well, the leader of the North Vietnam, and his name just escaped.
Ho Chi Minh?
Thank you. Ho Chi Minh.
Ho, ho, ho.
He wrote a paper when he was very young talking about the Long Year struggle, the Long War. And the Long War was to, you know, he had recognized in the middle of the French occupation they were going to be replaced by the Americans, and that he was just sort of sending out a note to the party faithful saying, we fought against the Japanese, we fought and won. We fought against the French and won. And we'll fight against the Americans, and it doesn't matter if it takes this generation or the next generation after that. Basically, it was an open-ended call to arms.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what we have now from the military, is an open-ended call to arms, the Long War? And if we leave Iraq, will we still be engaged in this global war on terror, which gives the president unlimited power to do whatever he wants?
Well, and as an armchair general myself, Scott, I have to say that I want to make sure that our armed forces are assigned tasks and objectives that are consistent with their training, consistent with the conceptual strategies, and that really have a good prospect of succeeding. And as you and I have discussed on many occasions, we have a lot of Air Force personnel who are doing ground security in Iraq. We have truck drivers who are doing patrols in Baghdad. There's a big mismatch of the skill sets and the assignments that people are being given.
We still have 107,000 National Guard and Reserve troops on active duty. And if you look at the budget numbers, they get, again, about a tenth of what the active duty does, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're asking them to do much, much more with much, much less.
And it just seems to me that whether it is, the commando units like the SEALs and others, or even special segments of the CIA or other parts of our national security apparatus, they seem to me to be the more appropriate frontline warriors against terrorist cells. I don't believe in a war on terrorism. I do believe in fighting the terrorists, individually and as groups. So we're going to take a break, and as we pick up, I want to talk about this a little bit further and about the interesting oblique admission in this Pentagon document that often our presence becomes a source of irritation in and of itself, something Jack Murtha has pointed out. We're talking with Scott Dick, and we'll continue right after the break. Join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, toll-free at 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Attention antiquarians. The Monterey Peninsula is one of the best places in the country to go antiquing. And the two best stores on the peninsula to shop for beautiful, unique, and precious items are the Monterey Antique and Gift Center in Monterey and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove. Are you looking for a discontinued china piece to complete the wedding set you started many years ago? How about a genuine gold pocket watch with the original movement? Does authentic frontier art appeal to you? If so, you must spend a few hours browsing at the Monterey Antique and Gift Center in downtown Monterey and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove. For the finest antiques, collectibles, and jewelry, there's no place like the Monterey Antique and Gift Center, 449 Alvarado Street, and Holman's Antique Plaza at 542 Lighthouse in Pacific Grove.
Owner Nader Aga looks forward to serving you at one of his beautiful and unique shops, the Monterey Antique and Gift Center on Alvarado and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley, bringing you Talking Matters. You may already know me as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or maybe you've seen me on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, and Good Morning America. Or heard my voice on The Simpsons. And now my show, Talking Matters, starts right here, Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. We're here to touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Tune in to my Valentine special, February 11th at 3. It's full of laughter, tears, and great ideas. You'll hear couples with heart-pounding stories. We'll talk about the biochemistry of love hormones and the hot topic of emotional infidelity. Talking Matters, live streaming on the web and archived 24/7 at talkingmattersradio.org. So let's keep talking, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, basking in the sunshine here on the left coast. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We're live on KGOE 1480, serving Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County. We're talking about military and veterans issues with Scott Dick, and you're welcome to join us. 831-899-5792, Central Coast, that's a local call. Or toll-free, 888-579-2540, 1-888-579-2540. And Scott, as I mentioned before the break, we've been discussing this program, this plan that was issued by the Pentagon on February 1st, and it is the new declassified version of the counterterrorism strategy. It's worth noting that this takes the place of a classified document that was written 2 years ago by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, but never released for public review. And this permits the Bush administration to say there's a strategy without any of us actually having to know what it might be.
Correct.
So they're changing it slightly here, where they have gone public with some of the elements of their plan. But one admission noted by the New York Times is this that is contained in this new document. It says, the way we conduct operations, choosing whether, when, where, and how, can affect ideological support for terrorism. Knowledge of indigenous populations' cultural and religious sensitivities and understanding of how the enemy uses the U.S. military's actions against us should inform the way the U.S. military operates. Now, can you translate that Pentagon speak into English that we might understand?
Well,
there you go, Scott. Go ahead.
Well, since we have... there's nothing that's subtle about one person walking around, for example. I'll give you an example. I walked around Tuzla before we went there as a unit. I was on a reconnaissance. And I was with a unarmed, short sleeve shirt, beret-wearing Danish officer. And I was wearing all of my kit, all 35 pounds of my protective gear with my 9mm pistol, everything. So he could walk down the street and not really cause a stir because his appearance is pretty close. One, they're used to seeing the blue hats. Two, he projected no threat whatsoever. I just people just stared at me.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you move a group of guys and ladies, they don't look like they're women at all. They all look like one sort of weaponed, aggressive, dangerous force. And it's really hard to bring any kind of good intentions out of that kind of thing. Not to mention that the Arab world is already prejudiced towards the United States as it is. So anything that we do, even correct things that we do, things we do right, can be used against us. And in propaganda terms, if you kill one person, they'll turn it into killing four. If you kill four people, they'll turn it into killing 40, because that's the nature of the conflict.
Well, and
you really can't. You really can't win. I mean, there's not much you can do. If you could, you can't win in a situation like this, as far as I'm concerned.
Understood. And today we see these riots that clearly have been stoked by certain governments who are unfriendly to the United States, but provoked by some cartoon that was published in Denmark. And, you know, it is so irrational to see these outbursts and damage to property. Even deaths have occurred in some of these disturbances over a cartoon. And I pointed out yesterday that the Danish people, along with many Europeans, very strongly opposed the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq to begin with. And I would cut them some slack on that basis alone. And instead, this moment has been seized, driven by a cartoon, and it's kind of scary just how far this might spin out of control. I won't name him, but we invited an Arab-American spokesman for a major organization to come on the program today, and he said, you know what? I don't want to do it. He said, I don't want to try to explain this kind of irrational behavior by, you know, my relatives in the Islamic world. And on a certain level, I can't blame him. I don't have a real explanation myself. But if you see that as provocative, then certainly the presence of UN troops on Islamic soil is seen as highly provocative by those who really don't like us to begin with.
U.S. And unfortunately, the U.S. used to be seen in the 80s as the honest broker. We could insert ourselves between two opposing forces and work to negotiate some kind of peaceful arrangement, either through monetary, we either bought them off, or we gave them equipment, we actually prepared the other players to fight against themselves and inserted ourselves in the middle of them. But, you know, we still have troops on the Sinai. We send them there. If you look on a map of any deployment, our troops are still policing the Sinai, as well as Bosnia and Kosovo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we have lost that now. And we really have to be on guard at all times, wherever we go. It's because just by the fact of wearing a U.S. uniform, which used to gather sort of respect, if not begrudgingly, now is you're just a target.
Well, and we have on the negative side the Abu Ghraib photos that remain in circulation, the knowledge that people have all over the world of our extraordinary rendition program, the fact that we have dispatched certain detainees and suspects to third-party nations where we might expect that they'd get rougher treatment. And, you know, I don't believe in torture as a way to get people to cough up reliable information, but that's the theory in play there. And, you know, the U.S. image has been badly damaged by many of the actions and failures of the Bush administration to date. In this New York Times article, some unnamed Pentagon officials also noted to the reporter that in preparing this new strategy, that America's military efforts to help the tsunami victims and also the quake victims in Pakistan have done more to counter terrorist ideology than any attack mission that we have attempted in recent years. That's a pretty interesting point.
It's typical. And the thing that people fail to realize is that those decisions, rendition, torture, and I don't think that's torture. I personally think it has more to do with punishment than torture. And it's something I'm coming around to. I don't think that they ever expected to get useful information from our detainees. I think they just wanted to punish them by torturing them. And these have all been political decisions that once the politicians are gone, the U.S. military is going to have to live with for probably the next 20 years to try to restore the reputation. And we know that they're a capable fighting force, and that for the most part they're well disciplined and well trained. But that's really going to be a hard sell, and that's why I think commentators like Joe Galloway go nuts when they see what's happening to our military. I know the commander of the Abu Ghraib, and that's something that happened there. I can't believe that he would ever allow. So when they say it had to come from higher up, I fully believe that.
Well, I certainly believe it.
And the general officer taking the Fifth Amendment, that's one of those things that I shake my head, because that taints the entire military. That somehow, one, gives credence to the fact that the higher-ups, the powers to be, as they call it, knew what was going on and perhaps ordered it or at least let it happen, and the fact that there is a disconnect between the generals in the Pentagon and the generals on the ground. I think that if Bush or Rumsfeld told the generals, gave them one order, get Osama bin Laden, then I think we would have seen an entirely different conflict.
That's a very good point. And Jeffrey Miller is the general who ran Guantanamo, was then sent to Abu Ghraib to Gitmoize it, and has most recently taken the Fifth to avoid testifying in a way that might incriminate himself. The one more point on this new counterterrorism strategy document. It calls on members of the military to be aware of the culture, customs, language, and philosophy of affected populations and the enemy to more effectively counter extremism and encourage democracy, freedom, and economic prosperity abroad. Now, that's a bit of a mouthful, but we know, in particular in Iraq, that many of our troops not only don't speak the language, but they don't have enough translators to help them with various situations that arise, and also that it's very difficult for Westerners to distinguish between Sunnis and Shias, who, of course, in many respects are archenemies and are using our ignorance to extract payback from one another, often using us as the implement of that payback.
There was a lot of that blood-letting, feud-solving processes going on in Afghanistan especially, where they just point, say, Al-Qaeda, and then we bomb it and find out there was a wedding party of 28. That was old bad blood that we were settling that score for them in a very public, very, you know, killing that cockroach with a, you know, sledgehammer kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
And our guys, our commanders, they're ignorant. They're on the ground, and they just don't have a clue. They're just doing what they think they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, Peter, I was something in the Army called a foreign area officer. They sent me to get my master's degree in international relations. I went to the DLI, and it was a program that's been in effect for a long time, probably 40 years. They've been sending officers and enlisted folks to go to DLI to learn foreign language, then to go to study in the schools. And that has always been a redheaded stepchild. I was advised when I first wanted to sign up for the program, don't do that. You'll go out of the mainstream. You won't get promoted. It's a dead-end kind of field. And now, 20 years after the fact, they're beginning to put more money into the DLI. We've seen that $304 million they're going to put in DLI this year, this fiscal year, or the next 5 years. I can't remember which one it is. And they're going to make more and more officers learn a foreign language. And, you know, that's anathema to most Americans. Why should I have to learn a foreign language?
Well, it helps with an occupation.
Well, it helps in any kind of commerce, and I don't mean just, you know, commercial commerce or corporate, any kind of commerce with any other culture. And it's the kind of hidebound sort of traditional kind of narrow-mindedness that affects not just the military, but the State Department, the bureaucracies, that, well, we're the big cheese, we're big man on campus. Everybody else should learn English and respect our values and respect our culture, and then we'll go from there. And that's not happening in 2006.
Well, you know, I've never had to speak English at Club Med. I just don't know why I would need it in Iraq or Afghanistan. We'll continue in just a moment with Scott Dick talking military and veterans affairs. You can join us, 831-899-5792, or toll free. It's 888-579-2540. 3:45 on this beautiful afternoon. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060.
Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th, travel the world without packing a suitcase.
Stuff this week. But there was a presentation, I believe, by a general, and maybe Rumsfeld was at the news conference there yesterday, too. But they were discussing that they're finally responding to the cries from the reserve units and National Guard units that have been held over using stop loss and seriously overextended on duty in Iraq. Have you been able to confirm any plans to reduce our dependency on those two units?
Well, actually, in an article that I have read today, it said that the Pentagon is going to go back and the president is going to ask to be able to call them up for 365 days as opposed to the limit now 270 days.
Oh, really?
And to revise presidential authority to make it easier for the president to call up reservists to respond to natural disasters. And to develop select reserve units that will train intensively and require shorter notices for deployment. So what that means is, as in the case of the 80s and the 90s, they would earmark National Guard, for example, a tank brigade.
Mm-hmm.
And in the National Guard, there's one in Mississippi, and it has active duty commanders. But it's manned by National Guardists. And what they do is they're on a short leash with an active duty division to deploy. And so what they're saying now, they want to do more of that.
Then I got it totally backwards.
Well, what they say and what they do are two different things, Peter. I mean, we know that. So they say they support the troops, but they want to cut military retirement benefits. They want to do this. You know, it's remember, you go to the war. You don't go to the war with the army that you want. You go with the one you have.
Yeah.
My favorite quote. And, you know, you know some things and some things you don't know, and then you don't know the things that you don't know.
The known unknowns, the no. Right.
Right. So what if you try to make sense out of what they say and what they do, then I think all you do is make yourself crazy.
Mm-hmm. So based on what they are doing, They are not responding to the crunch on the Guard and reserves with some measures that would ease those demands, but they're actually ratcheting them up, or at least creating that potential.
Well, but they've said they want to cut the National Guard. So they want to cut the National Guard to increase the active duty strength. Well, the state governors are going to fight that. They've already announced that they're going to fight that. So that's a problem. If you cut the National Guard in the reserves, then you're going to have less troops to deploy. And if they want to but they've said they want to cut the National Guard. So they want to cut the National Guard to increase the active duty strength. Well, the state governors are going to fight that. They've already announced that they're going to fight that. So that's a problem. If you cut the National Guard in the reserves, then you're going to have less troops to deploy. And if they want to increase the active duty military by 55,000, which they said they've done, then that cost is huge compared to having more effective National Guard and reserve forces, because they don't cost so much, because as I pointed out before, they spend 1/10 of what they spend on active duty.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when it all shakes out, what we'll find in retrospect is that was talk, because we're going into 2006 midterm elections.
I see.
That's my guess. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. Next to the 2007, let's talk about it, Peter.
I'll make a note to check back about a year from now and see what the status truly is. Now, some progressives have suggested that state governors can recall.
I would think any thinking soldier there must be saying, what in the hell am I doing over here doing battle with people that did nothing to us?
Well, I think they're reflective of the American population, and I think polls that say, what is it, like 50% or 49%, correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, also believe that Iraq was involved in 9-1-1, and so the troops reflect that themselves. But they're also on a mission, and it has a way of binding the troops together, and it's funny, in my experience in units, disloyalty is huge. It outweighs about any other offense that you could commit. So openly asking questions, I personally, they won't ask them in their leadership, because the leadership won't answer them, and they know that from experience. I would love to have to be a fly on the, maybe we could get the NSA to bug those tents. We would get the most beautiful, luscious, delicious humor coming out of those tents at night in what the troops really have to say about the deployment and about how they feel about everything else that's going on.
I imagine they get letters from their families at home, and a lot of that must be there to wise them up as to what they're a part of.
And it's true that it goes both ways with the kids writing home. I say kids. Kids writing home and telling them what they're experiencing, and there are some successes, and the troops use that because the next morning they have to get up and do it all over again. And I went through a sort of a Groundhog Day sort of experience, you know, from the movie where every day was the same, and that was Bosnia, and that was no threat. These young men and women, they're under a tremendous amount of pressure, and their friends getting killed. They have every predisposition to believe what they're doing is right. If not, they go crazy.
Yeah, they want to believe that they're doing a noble thing, I suppose, but it is shifting our treasury into the pockets of the Halliburton cartel group, and that's what it's all about.
And you know, the troops know that of the $1 billion that was lost during the CPA, they know that money was lost. They know how much corruption is going on with the Iraqis. They know of the work that they've tried to do and then had it undone by the politicians. They know in Fallujah when they left that the insurgents were going to move back in and that their friends were going to get killed going back to free that town again and then leaving. And that cycle, endless cycle of stupidity, they know it. They see it. They're smart kids.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, guys, both of you, for your good efforts.
Okay, you're welcome. Scott, in closing, I just wanted to mention one thing that has surfaced on the program, and we've gotten at least two anecdotal reports that I think are worth mentioning. Colby Bazell was on our program yesterday. He served a year in Mosul, primarily an Army machine gunner, and he has written a book called My War, Killing Time in Iraq. He's also a blogger. And he confirmed at least one incident of the rape of a female American service member. This occurred in Kuwait as they were positioning to go into Iraq. And we recently heard a report attributed to General Janis Karpinski, who was the National Guard general who was running Abu Ghraib and the other prisons in the complex in Iraq. And she reports a number of incidents of women raped on their way to the latrines at night, and women who were avoiding drinking too much water after 4 or 5 in the daytime so that they wouldn't have the urge to have to go to the bathroom during the night. In your reading and reporting and your networking, have you heard any of these reports of rape or sexual harassment, serious harassment of female soldiers?
I haven't, mostly through my reading, and I would say that I would believe everything that you heard, because in my experience, I've only ever encountered one false report of sexual harassment. One. Mm. The rest, if somebody goes to that effort to report and be sanctioned and everything else, it's true. I mean, Peter, there's so many ways to get out of a deployment. Claiming rape or sexual harassment is... that's like the atom bomb.
Yeah.
And I would believe it. When you put that many people in that closed, confined area, it's and they're thugs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wearing uniforms.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, but this is an issue we want to pursue and put some sunshine on, because if it is going on, the American people deserve to know, and these women in uniform deserve to be better protected. Scott Dick, thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Professor Marjorie Cohn, right after the news at 4 o'clock. We'll get her analysis of the NSA spying hearings before the Judiciary Committee and why Alberto Gonzalez did not want to be sworn in under oath. That's coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I just love your situation, baby. You know my love will never stop, now, baby. Just put your loving in my box, now, baby.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
After angry letters, two senators bury the hatchet.
I'm particularly pleased to be sharing this panel with my pen pal, John McCain.
Muslim protests prompt an appeal from the White House.
I call upon the governments around the world to... stop the violence.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. When Arizona Republican John McCain and Illinois Democrat Barack Obama appeared together before the Senate Rules Committee this afternoon, Chairman Trent Lott was wary.
The witnesses will behave themselves and restrain themselves.
Just 2 days ago, McCain and Obama had a nasty public exchange. In a sarcastic letter his office made public, McCain accused Obama of political posturing and suggested he wasn't really serious about ethics reform. Obama replied that he was and didn't know what McCain was talking about. Today, they said they'd patched over their differences.
Senator Obama and I are moving on and will continue to work together, and I value his input.
Their united front gives impetus to the drive for reforms, like refusing to take meals and trips paid for by lobbyists.
If members of Congress can't justify spending taxpayer money to do a fact-finding trip, they shouldn't go. And neither should their staff.
Wisconsin Democrat Russ Feingold. The reformers also want to put limits on earmarks, projects added to big spending bills at the behest of special interests. Barack Obama, by the way, is now the Grammy award-winning senator from Illinois. You won't see it on TV tonight, but he won a Grammy in the spoken word category for the recording of his book, Dreams from My Father. Now this.
If you enjoy helping people and want to turn that passion into a career, you can. Right now, the Home Depot has full and part-time employment opportunities for sales, cashier, lot, department supervisor, and other positions. We're an equal opportunity employer with excellent benefits, tuition reimbursement, and thorough training. If this sounds like the perfect fit for you, apply at careers.homedepot.com or at your nearest Home Depot store. We'd love for you to be a part of our team, the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Ever wish upon a star?
Not lately.
Open your Valentine's present.
Wow, you named a star after me?
Let's wish on it. Wish for us.
It's the best Valentine's gift ever. For $54, International Star Registry will record your star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office and send you a beautiful gift package. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's 800-282-3333 or starregistry.com.
Let's wish for forever.
I love you.
In the West Bank city of Hebron, Palestinians join Muslims in other parts of the world who've mounted violent protests over those cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. They tried to storm an international observer post. In Washington, at a photo op with Jordan's King Abdullah, President Bush called on Muslim governments to crack down and appealed for peaceful protests.
We reject violence as a way to express discontent with what may be printed. Free press.
The administration says not all these demonstrations are spontaneous. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice blamed two governments in particular.
Iran and Syria have gone out of their way to inflame sentiments and to use this to their own purposes, and the world ought to call them on it.
U.S. officials tell CBS News they believe Syrian officials have gone directly to religious leaders and told them to stir things up. The man in charge of Medicare and its new prescription drug benefit was called on the Capitol Hill carpet today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The Medicare chief got an earful from angry senators like Kent Conrad of North Dakota.
People are furious at your agency.
Toby Shule owns a small pharmacy in Montana. He said it's been awful.
With over 40 plans to choose from, my patients said that they were scared, intimidated,
and often unable to get medicines they need. Mark McClellan, who runs Medicare, says things are getting better.
The vast majority of the millions of beneficiaries who have enrolled are using their new drug coverage successfully.
But he agreed there have been serious problems and promised to continue working to fix them. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Republican chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee gave Alberto Gonzalez a hard time the other day when the attorney general defended domestic eavesdropping without court approval. On the Senate floor this afternoon, Arlen Specter announced he'll introduce a bill to require court supervision.
We want to be secure, and we want to have the military and the administration, the president, have all the tools he needs to fight terrorism. But we also want to maintain our civil liberties.
A jury in Houston has convicted three people in this country's deadliest attempt at human smuggling. In May 2003, a tractor-trailer rig with more than 70 illegals inside was abandoned in the hot Texas sun. 19 of those people died. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Dave, you can't sit outside on the window ledge with your laptop. We're on the 19th floor.
I can't sit next to Bob. He looks terrible.
Dave, try my Emergen-C. The powder in the little packets loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
Ooh, it's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost. Now, Dave, please come back inside.
I will, for a few packets of your Emergen-C. Besides, I think that pigeon just sneezed.
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
The following program is monitored and scrutinized by the National Security Agency. You listen at your own risk. Oh, here they come.
Go ahead.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the Sunshine Basques, the left coast of the United States. What a beautiful day we've got. 406 in California.
What's going on in Delion? Take a more shots
in the car Malone, Malone, your tone, and justice in tone. Who got the diamonds? Who gonna find them? Who gonna find them? I wanna find them. Diamonds and guns, diamonds and guns.
This hour, I want to focus on the NSA spying operation, the comments the vice president made on the public television news hour last night, and we're going to kick it off with analysis from one of our favorite professors of constitutional law, Marjorie Cohn, who teaches at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego and is gracious enough to squeeze us in between classes and teaching assignments and writing assignments for truthout.org. She also is the incoming president of the National Lawyers Guild. Marjorie Cohn, welcome to our broadcast today.
My pleasure, Peter.
I'd like to begin just with a quick quote from Russ Feingold, the senator. He said the president was blunt. He said he had authorized the NSA's domestic spying program, and he made a number of misleading arguments to defend himself. His words got rousing applause from Republicans and I think even some Democrats. The president was blunt, so I will be blunt. This program is breaking the law, and this president is breaking the law. Not only that, he is misleading the American people in his efforts to justify this program. That is clear, concise, and, as the senator said, quite blunt. Why is it that this is lost on so many Americans, and the Republicans appear to be able to spin this as a necessary breach of civil rights in order to protect Americans?
Well, just the name of this program, it's called the Terrorist Surveillance Program, but it really hasn't caught any terrorists. There was an article in the Washington Post that said that of the thousands of calls that were intercepted, very few had any relationship to anything that could have been called terrorism. And people don't really understand what's happening or the slippery slope here and what this can lead to. First of all, we didn't know anything about it, and neither did most of Congress until the New York Times leaked it. And then the administration had to come out and very defensively defend it. But what's happening now is that in violation of a very clear statute that's been on the books since 1978, it's called FISA, the Foreign Surveillance Intelligence Act, Bush has authorized the National Security Agency to do secret electronic surveillance of phone calls of Americans whenever they call overseas or someone from overseas calls them. Every time anybody in this country is on a phone call where one of the parties is overseas, even if we are in the United States, our calls can be eavesdropped on. And that means that, and it's totally secret, he won't say how many, Alberto Gonzalez wouldn't answer any questions about how many calls were intercepted or whether there have been any abuses or whether anybody had been disciplined for abuses, which means that there is nothing to say that they could not go after unpopular groups, political enemies, the Democrats, anti-war groups, environmental groups, groups that challenge Bush's policies, because it's totally secret. They aren't even cutting Congress in on it, except for eight people who were sworn to secrecy.
Marjorie,
many people in Congress are very upset about this, including Republicans.
And not only that, they use the shroud of secrecy in a very a manner that I find infuriating. Last night on public television, the vice president reiterated his claim without a shred of evidence or any backing information that thousands of American lives have been saved because of this illegal spying program. And they can get away with that. I wouldn't want to compromise the operation by telling you any details. And Jim Lehrer did press the vice president for a follow-up on that, and he simply said that he believes that it's true that thousands of American lives have been saved. And this is the kind of spin that they use that is very frustrating, and the response of the Democrats, while I've been encouraged by people like Senator Feinstein in the way she both conducted questioning of the Attorney General and comments she made on television afterward, they still don't appear to be penetrating the bubble of the protective argument that the Republicans are using so far.
You know, you'll recall that they were telling us there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We were hearing that Iraq could invade the United States within 45 minutes. And we were lied to, we were misled, and there's no way to disprove what Cheney is saying about thousands of American lives being saved, because everything is secret and classified. About weapons of mass destruction, about mission accomplished, lie after lie after lie that the decision to invade Iraq was not made early on, when now the Downing Street memos show that it was made early on, and people are coming out and saying that as soon as Bush became president, they talked about invading Iraq. You know, if there are enough lies, maybe the American people will start distrusting what they're saying. The problem is that they wave the 9/11 flag, they parade, victims, or justifies rounding up groups of people that they don't like, such as Japanese Americans, and putting them into internment camps. That is the logical extension, and that danger was actually expressed by a former Justice Department official in the Reagan administration, a conservative, Bruce mm-hmm. Fine, who said that Bush's theory could be used to authorize internment camps for groups of U.S. citizens that the president says are suspicious. I mean, this is really disturbing, and people have to understand, first of all, 9/11 happened on Bush's watch. It never should have happened. He knew it was going to happen. He had a memo that it was going to happen. This program would not have prevented that, because they already knew about these conversations of hijackers, and he did not protect us from 9/11. There have been several terrorist attacks since. He is not protecting the American people, and just by all this secrecy and maintaining power at all costs and eavesdropping on whatever enemies, and I don't think it's just terrorists. I think he's eavesdropping on all of us. He's probably eavesdropping on you and me as well. And Democrats, leading Democrats, I'm sure. I think that people have to understand that we cannot trust him anymore.
Professor Cohn, I want to turn to something we have touched on once before, but the vice president reiterated it again, and I'm not being redundant, last night. And that is citing the Hamdi decision by the Supreme Court last summer, majority opinion written by O'Connor, and there are two key parts to it. In one, they do seem to acknowledge that under the authorization for use of force following 9/11, it was approved on 9/14/01, that the president did have expanded powers that permitted him to detain an American citizen like Hamdi. But it was linked to, I believe, the very next sentence, which the vice president forgot to mention on television last night, which is that line about how it doesn't mean the president has a blank check. So is Hamdi, in your view, any justification for the sweeping powers claimed by this administration under this NSA program?
No. The other thing he forgot to mention about Hamdi is that the court said that this authorization for the use of force permits use of force only against people captured on the battlefield during the Afghanistan war. And that could include detention, and that's what they said, but not eavesdropping. And in fact, they tried to get the words inside the United States included in that use of force resolution, which would have actually brought it home. And the Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle said, nope, we said nothing doing, and those words don't appear in the resolution. So that is a specious argument that Gonzalez was making as well yesterday, or I guess Monday,
right,
and that Cheney's been making and that they've been repeating. But, it's important to know that the Congressional Research Service, which is a nonpartisan group, issued a 44-page analysis that concluded that Hamdi did not apply, that the authorization for the use of force did not support this eavesdropping, and that the NSA program was illegal. So what happens whenever the Bush administration is being run out of town? It gets in front of the crowd and makes it look like the chair. Representative Pete Hoekstra started saying, well, we should see whether the Congressional Research Service is really free of partisan or other bias. You know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing they're doing about this program in the first place. Instead of focusing on the real merits of the situation, they're going after the journalists who leaked it and talking about how they are helping the terrorists. Again, when you're being run out of town, get in front of the crowd and make it look like a parade. And Bush is really good at that, Karl Rove. And that is the fear that Joe McCarthy and other people in the government were able to whip up to ruin lives. People died during that period. Lives were ruined. Careers were ruined. And that same fear is being used to whip up hysteria. You know, on Fox News, when you look at the terror alert, it's elevated. It's constant fear. Everybody's in fear of the next terrorist attack. And, you know, the same number of people who died on 9/11, that 3,000 figure is the same number of people who are still missing after the Katrina hurricane.
We've got to run to a break, and you've got to run to a class. Thanks for joining us today. I want to direct people to truthout.org, to the great analysis you wrote, posted on Monday night, and we'll talk again soon.
Bye, Peter.
Professor Marjorie Cohn at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. Next, I want to hear from you. My lines are open for the rest of this hour, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on the circus performance at the Judiciary Committee by Alberto Gonzalez, and if you saw it last night, the Vice President's comments on the Lehrer News Hour. Lines are open for you, 831-899-5792, Central Coast, North Coast. It's toll-free at 888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on this sunshine-filled afternoon. Let's check in with Amy Knight.
It's such a lovely day around the Monterey Bay. We have actually quite a light load as far as traffic concerned. Only one problem to talk about. It's in the Live Oak area, Commercial Way at Soquel Drive. It is an injury accident, a vehicle and a pedestrian involved, and emergency crews are responding to the scene. Otherwise, we're checking in clear along the coast on Highway 1, Monterey toward Marina, and 68 looks good. And tomorrow we'll talk more about the Pro-Am golf tournament that starts
overactive course the Pebble Beach area, but we do want to make sure you're there aware that shuttles will be available at Cal Earth or Stearns and Foster mattress set. Plus, on approved credit, you'll sleep free for 1 year. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back about 4:45. It's 4:23 now. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're there. I'd like to hear from you. My lines are open for the remainder of this hour. No more guests scheduled. Larissa Alexandra card. To openly violate the law in this manner. Well, then we're in real trouble. Because there is, in my view, very little to limit their extension of these sweeping rights they claim into many other areas. So I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open. The whole switchboard's open. So if you call now, it'll be a short wait on hold. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. That's 831-899-KRXA. Or you can call me toll-free on 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. It is interesting to see that there are Republicans who see this issue the same way I do. I find it comforting, and I also find it encouraging on a political level, because I believe that given one-party rule, the only way we are going to bring these rogues to justice is through the support of principled Republicans. And so, for a moment anyway, we can bask in this. Heather A. Wilson, a Republican from New Mexico, chair of the House Intelligence Subcommittee on Technical and Tactical Intelligence, a former National Security Council aide in the administration of Bush 1, has broken ranks with the White House and called for a full congressional inquiry into the Bush administration's domestic eavesdropping program. Hooray, hooray. Because Ed Schultz had Senator Leahy on the line earlier today, and he asked the obvious question that many of us have been pondering, which is what happens next? All right, we've caught the crook. We've got the act right out there in the open. We know that laws were violated. We know that they're continuing to violate the law, and they claim they can do so. So what are we going to do about it? Even Arlen Specter has allowed the I word to cross his curled lips. He acknowledges that the real sanction here on this president and this administration is called impeachment. As a result of the midterm elections this November, to have any hope of pursuing a realistic impeachment process. And so to see people like Heather Wilson, with her pedigree, honestly assessing the situation and say, well, you know what? Even as a Republican, this one smells too much for me. And we've got to minute answer that never touched on the issue of the insurgency. It was just a pre-rehearsed soundbite answer. So I want to hear from you. Lines open for the next half hour. 831-899-5792. 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
Please join House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi and former White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta as they celebrate Congressman Sam Farr's 30 years of public service. Sunday, February 12th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey, local and national leaders will pay tribute to Sam's work on behalf of the Central Coast and the nation. That's Sunday, February 12th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey, starting at 6 p.m. For tickets or information, call 373-4607. That's 373-4607. Authorized and paid for by the Friends of Farr Committee.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We are in the NSA-monitored free speech zone this afternoon. Just one line available, and for balance, I'll invite a call from Eureka on 888-579-2540. Toll free, that's 888-579-2540. And before I go to your calls, I just wanted to finish my thoughts about sitting through the Vice President's comments last night. I have to say, he is such a smarmy guy, and you know he's lying. And sitting there, actually, I stood there because I couldn't sit still in the family room to watch his performance. But I stood there, and as I said, I give Jim Lehrer a B-. He did touch on many important subjects that this vice president should be required to discuss under oath. But Cheney was evasive, and Lehrer is often too polite. And so he mentioned embarrassing remarks. For example, the vice president's claim less than a year ago that the insurgency in Iraq was in its final throes. And he did force Cheney to acknowledge that he had said that. And then he permitted him this lengthy answer where he spun it that, well, 2005 was is going to be seen when we look back in history as the year of transition in Iraq. And there are many possible ways to spin that: transition to civil war, transition to total chaos, a transition to a breakdown and a breakup of that country. Those are all the potential transitions that are underway right now. Of course, he prefers to view it through the Dr. Peter Fever poll-driven prism that, well, we're on our way to victory, and when we look back, we'll see that 2005 was that year of transition. He also asserted that they don't really need to negotiate with Congress over these issues or really disclose any more information about this secret and apparently illegal program. We already have the legal authority we need, he said. Let me quote that more accurately. We have all the legal authority we need, he said. It is important for us, if we're going to proceed legislatively, to keep in mind that there's a price to be paid for that, and it might well, in fact, do irreparable damage to our capacity to collect information. So, whenever you approach the central issue here, it's off limits because of secrecy and because you might compromise the program. And he is permitted to make this assertion that thousands of Americans' lives have been saved by this illegal surveillance program. And he's comfortable offering zero proof, zero support for that statement. Cynthia in Monterey, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good afternoon.
Hi, Peter B. You know, the first lie that we should come to understand is that they don't intend to bring democracy anywhere.
I agree.
On the planet.
No, it's a fig leaf, and I've referred to it as the cruel hoax that they have dangled over the populace of Iraq.
Oh, true. And the use of force, that's just so Bush can play up to his nut base. They have to use terminology like that. They really do have a nutty base. So I do believe that many Republicans who still have some sanity and aren't sadistic will break ranks with these lunatics. You know,
I'd like to see it. And you know, one of the indications, for example, Lindsey Graham, who I think, you know, falls into the nut category more and more. He's the guy who rewrote...
And I used to like him.
Yeah, I used to think he was a moderate Republican. He's the one who led the charge to deny habeas corpus rights to the detainees at Guantanamo. And he generally supports the NSA program, but he recognizes the political cost of it. And he warned Gonzalez in the hearings on Monday that if they don't go back and seek... clarifying authority on this illegal program that's underway, that the next time they ask for an authorization to use force, there will be all kinds of wrangling and negotiations and fine print. A president will never get the blank check that was drawn on the 14th of September 2001. Now, I think that's a good thing, but for Lindsey Graham to recognize that as a cost of this reckless approach, I think is interesting, and again, I'm hopeful that Republicans, with or without principle, will consider it expedient to embrace principle and to embrace the Constitution and the rights of the American people, even in an election year.
Well,
thanks
you
for
know,
your call,
there's
Cynthia.
Two hardball issues.
I want to jump. I'm sorry. I got Ed and four other people holding. We'll talk to you another time. Ed from Aptos, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, I wondered if you'd heard that Roberto Gonzalez had to be rushed into emergency surgery.
Alberto?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. For what?
He had to have Texas Senator, I think it's pronounced Cornyn's, lips removed from his buttocks.
Thank you, Ed.
I didn't call you for that. That just came. Hello?
Yeah, you're still on. I didn't cut you. Don't worry.
what I'm warning is where are the Republicans of conscience? Is there anyone out there? I guess McCluskey is halfway there, challenging Pombo. But, you know, the silence is deafening. You know, they take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. And that's their basic thing. I think they're more, have higher regard for their party than they have for their country.
Well, all too often, that's true. And, you know, we really need to see an end to that.
This is a rhetorical question, but do they have any in their ranks of the ilk of Eugene McCarthy?
No.
Yes. I don't know. You know, if I wish.
And the Democrats don't have enough of those
I'm
in their ranks.
I don't. You know, my social circle. I knew Republicans when I was working, but now I'm. I might know of people tangentially, but I don't have any in my close circle of Republicans that I can ask these questions to.
Yeah. All right, Ed, thanks a lot. Billy Capitola, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead, Billy.
I like Ed's calls.
Me too. I took that joke and swallowed it hook, line, and lips.
Yeah, I saw it coming. You were taking it totally serious. You're a good straight man. So you were pretty clear that you were disappointed in Lair. In fact, as we know, there's been a complete breakdown in the constitutional balances. The press has not done its job for the longest time out of either, you say, politeness, I'd say fear, I'm not sure. But what it means is this. President Bush is going to have to hear from us. And if he won't hear from us because he controls who he speaks to and everything else, then it's going to be at funerals. He'd better hope nobody else dies, because I understand how everybody's so upset, how inappropriate it was at the funeral, but when a president behaves the way this president behaves and won't come in front of the people and speak, when the press does not get a follow-up question, then we will nail this president where we can.
Well, I don't think that Reverend Lowry's remarks were inappropriate. And what I would suggest was, if people are offended by his remarks, then I'm equally offended by the mere presence of George W. Bush at that funeral. He's a man who has done absolutely zero to advance the interests and address the grievances of African Americans and, in general, the displaced populations in this country. New Orleans is the most recent and most glaring, but not the only, example of that.
But if it was anything other than this iconic American who had died, he wouldn't have shown up.
Right. Well, he wasn't planning to come. They changed his schedule over the weekend. And on Saturday, he decided that it would be good politics for him to spend a few hours in Atlanta. It was interesting to watch the screen, and I didn't see the whole funeral. I just saw the excerpts on PBS last night. But there were some telling moments when Lowry made his remarks, and you could see President Bush's little smarmy, snarling face, and he tried to suppress the infamous smirk that is often hard for him to control. The other thing that was kind of bizarre was the Bill and Hillary show. Bill got up there, he was talking Southern, he was talking Black, and I thought he was in many respects patronizing to the audience. And like a bobblehead, the segment I saw, the clip I saw, showed Senator Clinton from New York just standing there with, very active nodding to everything that Bill had to say. I thought it was kind of weird.
You know, what amazed me is white boys like O'Reilly getting offended by something that Reverend Lowry says. We have no right to question what the Reverend Lowry chooses to say. He was a friend of Coretta's. He stood by Mrs. King. It's a joke for Republicans who never have anything else to say other than shut up and get in line to complain about this. It's going to continue, President Bush. When you venture out of the House, you're going to hear from Americans.
That's true. You get outside that bubble, and you can't expect Bubba to keep quiet. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, buddy.
Let's go to our break now, and we'll return for more of your calls. I'll try to keep this part of the hour on time. You can join us. There's room for you right now. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free from Eureka or anywhere else if you happen to be listening online. My toll-free line is 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Speak up and speak out while you still have the right and before they open a file on you at the NSA. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients.
ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is an IRA distribution specialist. Other than your home, your retirement plan is probably the largest investment you have. And you have a choice. You can pass it on to your beneficiaries as a legacy. Should there be a separate IRA for each beneficiary? Is there a way to set up a multi-generation stretch IRA? Michelle Ashen, a certified estate planner and IRA distribution expert, is offering a 30-minute free consultation which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0.
Tempur-Pedic or Stearns & Foster mattress set. Plus, on approved credit, you'll sleep free for 1 year. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you in just a little while.
Okay.
Listen. It's the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast, 447 on this beautiful afternoon. You're invited to join our conversation about the NSA spying issues and the breathtaking claims from the administration that everything they're doing is legal and we have nothing to worry about. And my lines are open for you at 831-899-5792. That's 899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Want to point you toward Maureen Dowd's column in today's New York Times. And as you know, the chairman of the Republican National Committee attacked Hillary Rodham Clinton over the weekend because of her remarks about the plantation that Congress is today and just a general shall we say, unsolicited assessment of her and her public persona. And he said that she's angry and that she's far left. And you may have heard my remarks that I was offended, not that he said she's angry, I think she should be more angry, but that she is far left. That's an insult to those of us who are proud to be on the left. She is not. But I'd like to read the closing paragraph here, because in this, Maureen Dowd compares Hillary and Dick Cheney as angry Americans, and she closes this way. Hillary's problem isn't that she's angry, it's that she's not angry. Party's outrage. She's been too busy triangulating and calculating to be good at articulating. The Republicans can't marginalize Hillary. She has already marginalized herself. Maureen Dowd really is quite an astute woman. I just have to say that. Next up, we've got Mary Ann from Arcata. Welcome, Mary Ann, to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, hello. I always enjoy listening to your programs, Mr. Blackwell.
Right.
She didn't ask them, and it reminded me of the vice president yesterday and Mr. Lehrer. You know, mm-hmm. They just don't ask the questions.
Now, do you think I was too polite in suggesting that he was too polite, or do you think, as I think Billy suggested, that Mr. Lehrer is afraid of the bully Dick Cheney and the impact that he can have on public television? After all, they had a crony, this Ken Tomlinson, who was running the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Uh-huh.
He put minders to work trying to detect the bias of Bill Moyers and other people on the PBS system. And so there has been a chilling effect. Do you think Jim Lehrer has been effectively chilled?
Oh, I think so. I'm sure they all are, and they're afraid, just like the Washington Press Corps, that if they say anything that is, you know, a bit, the least bit biting, that they'll never have these guys come on their shows anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
It is really sad, and I have a high regard for Jim Lehrer, and I do watch the broadcast every night.
Yeah,
I have to say
I do
the
too.
thing that just teased me off, Marianne, every time I start the program, I hear the tease of what's coming up, and then I have to TiVo through commercials on public TV.
Oh.
And I every night I just say, oh, this is wrong.
Yes.
I shouldn't have to
now,
do
what
that.
Is that again?
Pardon me?
What's TiVo?
Oh, TiVo is this new gizmo. It's like a video cassette recorder, but it's not a, it doesn't use tape. It uses a computer hard drive. And
yes.
So I record the NewsHour and Hardball, and
oh.
then I can watch them on my own schedule, and I can zip through the commercials or the boring parts.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
They're neat gizmos, but, so next time you have too much cash, go out and get a TiVo. It'll change the way you watch TV.
Okay, will do. Okay, just wanted to tell you that.
I'm really glad you called, Marianne.
Okay.
Nice to hear from you. That leaves a line open for you. In fact, the switchboard's clear right now, 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast. If you're in Eureka, use the toll-free number at 888-579-2540. And this is the perfect opportunity for me to slip in a few more excerpts from this powerful speech that was delivered yesterday on the floor of the United States Senate by Russ Feingold, the senator from Wisconsin. And Feingold, I have a few issues with, but I really think that he's head and shoulders above most Democrats these days in calling them the way he sees them and really fighting for our rights. So earlier with Marjorie Cohn, I quoted a part where he said the president was blunt, and so I'll be blunt. This program is breaking the law. This president is breaking the law. Not only that, he's misleading the American people in his efforts to justify this program. How is that worthy of applause? Since when do we celebrate our commander-in-chief for violating our most basic freedoms and misleading the American people in the process? When did we start to stand up and cheer for breaking the law? In that moment at the State of the Union, I felt ashamed. Congress has lost its way if we don't hold this president accountable for his actions. The president suggests that anyone who criticizes his illegal wiretapping program doesn't understand the threat we face. But we do. Every single one of us is committed to stopping the terrorists who threaten us and our families. Defeating the terrorists should be our top national priority, and we all agree that we need to wiretap them to do it. In fact, it would be irresponsible not to wiretap terrorists. But we have yet to see any reason why we have to trample the laws of the United States to do it. The president's decision that he can break the law says far more about his attitude toward the rule of law than it does about the laws themselves. This goes way beyond party, way beyond politics. What the president has done here is to break faith with the American people. In the State of the Union, he also said that we must always be clear in our principles to get support from friends and allies that we need to fight terrorism. So let's be clear about a basic American principle. When someone breaks the law, when someone misleads the public in an attempt to justify his actions, he needs to be held accountable. The President of the United States has broken the law. The President is trying to mislead the American people. And he needs to be held accountable. Unfortunately, the President refuses to provide any details about this domestic spying program. Not even the full intelligence committees know the details. And they were specifically set up to review classified information and oversee the intelligence activities of our government. Instead, the President says, "Trust me." And I would add here that I'm hearing the echo of Dick Cheney's comments last night on public television, because he uses the trust me approach. And he fudges on the details, particularly on the consultation with Congress. And he used a phrase that, well, you know, they all supported this when we briefed them on them. I was present for the briefings myself. And now they're heading for the hills because it's come public. And they see political gain. Well, this is not even a half-truth. It's maybe a third truth. Because these leaders, and it's Pelosi and Reid, Hastert, and it would have been DeLay previously on the House side, Frist, well, you get the idea. The big eight leaders of the House and Senate were briefed on this. But as they were briefed, they were sworn to secrecy and told that they couldn't discuss it with anyone. And so we saw Jay Rockefeller take the unusual step of writing a handwritten letter to the vice president, mailing it, and putting a copy in a safe at the Capitol. It was the only way he could express his concerns and his opposition to the program as briefed by, apparently, the vice president. And so when the administration, including Cheney, makes the assertion that they've all been briefed on this, and it's just politics now that they are in dispute, it's simply not true. Yes, they were briefed, but they were briefed in a manner that permitted them to do absolutely nothing. And the point was made, I can't remember which senator, at the hearing on Monday, that these people who were briefed could not have gone public even if they had the complete evidence of a crime being committed. And they did, and they couldn't. Let me return to the Feingold comments. At the hearing yesterday, I reminded the Attorney General about his testimony during his confirmation hearings in January of 2005, when I asked him whether the president had the power to authorize warrantless wiretaps in violation of criminal law. We didn't know it then, but the president had authorized the NSA program 3 years before when the Attorney General was White House counsel. At his confirmation hearing, the Attorney General first tried to dismiss my question as hypothetical. He then testified that it's not the policy or the agenda of this president to authorize actions that would be in contravention of our criminal statutes. Well, Mr. President, wiretapping American citizens on American soil without the required warrant is in direct contravention of our criminal statutes. The Attorney General knew that, and he knew about the NSA program when he sought the Senate approval for his nomination as Attorney General. He wanted the Senate and the American people to think that the president had not acted on the extreme legal theory that the president has the power as commander-in-chief to disobey the criminal laws of this country. But he had. The Attorney General had some explaining to do, and he didn't do it yesterday. Instead, he parsed words, arguing that what he said was truthful because he didn't believe that the president's actions violated the law. Well, whether or not Alberto Gonzalez was sworn in, lying to Congress is a federal offense. He should be held accountable. I'm Peter B. Collins. Larissa Alexandrovna joins us after the news from rawstory.com, and more of your calls next hour right here.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Scattered around Washington, D.C. are high-tech biological and chemical detectors. One of them started beeping today at the Russell Office Building of the U.S. Senate. Capitol Police say they have not yet tested whatever the substance is, but people in the building, a couple hundred people, have been evacuated from the Russell Building. They are now being held in a Senate parking garage just in case they were exposed to something dangerous. Now, one detector reportedly tested positive for a biological nerve agent of some kind. A second detector came up negative. The third test is underway. They don't say what it may or may not be. Keep in mind, police also say it could be nothing at all. Using Muhammad for political purpose is the charge being made by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice now, with fingers pointed directly at Iran and Syria over the cartoon.
Yes, there are governments that have also used this opportunity to incite violence. I don't have any doubt that given the control of the Syrian government in Syria, given the control of the Iranian government, which, by the way, hasn't even hidden its hand in this.
She says the State Department believes Syrian officials told Muslim leaders to stir up the crowds. President Bush today called on the world's governments to bring an end to the violence. The Senate is all about reform at the moment, reforming the lobbying business. And now CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss on a proposal to pass a law on the NSA's surveillance tactics.
Vowing to increase pressure from Republicans in Congress, the administration is sharing more secret information about its controversial warrantless wiretaps. Initially, only 8 congressional leaders were given details. New Mexico Republican Heather Wilson complained loud and publicly and said today the administration started sharing details with her and all the other members of the House Intelligence Committee.
This is the beginning of serious questioning and engagement, and I commend the White House for its decision.
She says Congress has to know what's going on to decide if wiretap laws need to be changed. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter wants a legislation to lay the parameters for a special investigation by a special court still to come. The Grammy Awards being handed out in Los Angeles tonight. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato is there and joins us now. Barry?
You might hear this a lot tonight. Already, Mariah Carey has gotten together with 3 Grammy statuettes. She's the most nominated artist, along with Kanye West, who's won 2, and John Legend, who has 1. The performances here should be up for Grammys, People Magazine's Lisa Carlin.
Barry, some of the most popular artists in the world, U2, Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen, and Madonna are part of this show. And with all-star tributes to Sly and the Family Stone and the city of New Orleans, it's expected to be a historic night.
Ray Charles is gone, but not forgotten.
I got a woman.
The Ray movie soundtrack won 2 Grammys, and that song is looped into West's Record of the Year nominee, Gold Digger. Live in Los Angeles, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
On Wall Street today, the Dow gained nearly 109 points. The Nasdaq picked up about 22. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents Jerry Rice.
Starting at wide receiver.
I'm ready for some football.
All-time record holder and Tiger Balm's biggest fan.
Huh?
Especially Tiger Balm's new pain-relieving patch.
The patch works for me.
Just apply the advanced hydrogel patch and Tiger Balm goes deep into aching muscles and joints. Tiger Balm's been around almost as long as...
Hey, watch it, pal.
Number 80, Jerry Rice.
Take a tip from me. Go for the balm, Tiger Balm, and put the tiger in your team.
Available at drugstores everywhere.
If you haven't had luck with love, maybe it's time to try something different. That's why Match.com is now working with...
The one, the only, Dr. Phil!
At Match.com, we've got the right people, and Dr. Phil's got the right insight. It's a great way to the right relationship.
Bottom line, when it comes to relationships, it is all about attitude.
Match.com will show you who. Dr. Phil will show you how. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
Coming soon to Oakland, California, KCBS reporter Mark Seelig says a fast food tax.
City Councilwoman Jane Bruner says these fast food restaurants and convenience stores are already making big profits off of items sold in disposable packaging, so it's only fair to make owners pay a small fee that would help fund cleanup crews to deal with the city's huge litter problem.
The beautiful city makes a difference.
The City Council approved the measure last night, a move that's not sitting well with Vince Thomas, who runs several local Kentucky Fried Chicken stores.
I doubt if I'll have to lay off people, but I could see a price increase coming.
He says he pays taxes, and this is nothing more than a double dip. Mark Seelig, CBS News, Oakland, California.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. In Pinellas County, Florida, there's a morals clause, similar to clauses in a great many employment agreements, in fact. But the deal is a sheriff's deputy found in the sack or proven to have been there with someone else's betrothed could be suspended. So the price of fooling around for a Pinellas County deputy is 3 days' pay. No, none have been suspended yet under the rule. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
If you enjoy helping people and want to turn that passion into a career, you can. Right now, the Home Depot has full and part-time employment opportunities for sales, cashier, lot, department supervisor, and other positions. We're an equal opportunity employer with excellent benefits, tuition reimbursement, and thorough training. If this sounds like the perfect fit for you, apply at careers.homedepot.com or at your nearest Home Depot store. We'd love for you to be a part of our team. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Ever wish upon a star?
Not lately.
Open your Valentine's present.
Wow, you named a star after me?
Let's wish on it. Wish for us.
It's the best Valentine's gift ever. For $54, International Star Registry will record your star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office and send you a beautiful gift package. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's 800-282-3333 or starregistry.com.
Let's wish for forever.
I love you.
Let's do it.
Let's do another hour of Progressive Talk Radio. Air out the facts and hear your opinions. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and you can call in at 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, North Coast, or if you're listening online anywhere on the World Wide Web thing, you can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. Your calls are welcome this entire hour. We're going to spend the first portion of the hour with John Byrne from RawStory.com, where he is editor-in-chief. John, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
We have a weekly encounter with Larissa Alexandrovna. She's not feeling well tonight, and thanks for stepping in at the last minute. And it does give me an opportunity to compliment you on the fine work that I see at RawStory.com on a regular basis.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
I particularly commend you for the work that Larissa and others have done on the investigation of Karl Rove, the Abramoff case, and many others. You do a great job, and you're very even-handed. You are not one of those sites that is out there trying to make the Democrats look good when they don't.
I mean, we actually criticized the Democrats today.
Yes, you did.
We did an article about... we did an article about kind of how there's a liberal in the House that's calling for a criminal probe into the pre-war Iraq stuff, and how the Democrats will talk about Iraq, but you know aren't willing to sign on for you know a more thorough investigation.
You're talking about John Conyers, who graced our program a couple of weeks back, and he is a real stalwart for progressives. Yeah. He's the one who has kept the light on the stolen elections in Ohio. He has focused on the misdeeds of the Bush administration, laid the groundwork for impeachment if it can ever occur through his expansive report at the end of 2005 that led to his call for censure of both Cheney and Bush. And I just think he is right on. The issue you're talking about is recently revealed again from Britain. We get our truth from the people on the other side of the Atlantic. That just before we launched the attack into Baghdad in March of 2003, at the end of January, Bush and Prime Minister Tony Blair met, and two things occurred. One was that Bush made it clear that irrespective of the actions of the UN, that the U.S. would launch its offensive starting in March. And secondly, he appeared to be groveling for one more provocation that could be laid at the feet of Saddam Hussein. And he was talking, kind of plotting with Blair about the idea of repainting an American plane with UN stripes and then shooting it down over Iraq and blaming it on Saddam. And that is, you know, it's not surprising. It's just stunning that they would continue those kinds of misguided efforts, like the boneheaded idea Bush had to bomb Al Jazeera.
You know, I mean, I think even more surprising, since the administration seems to have kind of a pattern here of trickery to get into Iraq, is the fact that the press in the United States hasn't even covered the latest U2 memo, which, you know, it seems like a pretty good story. But neither the New York Times or the Washington Post, which kind of sets the agenda for the talk shows, has touched it at all.
And do you have any theories about that? As you say, it is a good story, and it deserves to be aired out. Do you think that the chilling effect of the last round of Downing Street leaks, which I referred to a moment ago, about the threat by Bush to bomb Al Jazeera, and apparently he was talked down from that tree by Tony Blair, they have responded in a Cheney-style manner. While not denying the truth of these leaks, they're going after the leakers to try to crack down and prevent this from happening again and to set an example.
Right. I mean, I don't think the New York Times or the Washington Post is cowering per se, but yeah, I mean, the chilling effect is certainly valid. The other thing is certainly these memos, I mean, they're hard. It was even hard for the British papers to print them because they had to review them in another country because Britain has a tighter secrecy law for government documents. So I imagine, you know, it's possible that the Times and the Post haven't gotten their hands on them. But seeing as they appeared in, you know, two different British newspapers and on a British television station, it seems kind of preposterous to believe that, you know, the United States' largest print organizations aren't able to track them down.
We're talking with John Byrne. He's editor-in-chief at rawstory.com. It's a great website. If you haven't got it on your bookmarks or your favorites, I recommend it to you. And you've got one of the lead stories on the site this afternoon. James Sensenbrenner, who in my view as a conservative Republican and the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, has not been a friend to civil rights, has not been very cognizant of key issues like the detainee questions, the Guantanamo issues, and many others. He has suddenly found some principle, or maybe he borrowed some, and he has issued an interesting letter to Attorney General Gonzalez. Tell us about it, John.
Well, it looks like Sensenbrenner wants answers. I mean, he's issued 51 questions, which are really detailed legal questions about, you know, whether the program was legal, whether, you know, the FISA court, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, whether the, you know, the TAP should have gone through there, you know, whether Congress needs to have a new legislation to allow for the TAP. And, you know, I think it's kind of a two-edged sword. I mean, someone pointed out to me pretty quickly is that, you know, while he's asking these hard questions of Gonzalez, he's also giving the administration another chance to defend the program and in a very detailed way, which they've already done. I mean, the Justice Department has done. I think Sensenbrenner, like you said, has not been terribly responsive to civil liberties, but, you know, he, like many of his colleagues, are facing pressure, you know, from within the caucus. I mean, there are a lot of libertarian Republicans. You know, they don't want taxes, but they also don't want, you know, people trampling all over their private information.
Mm-hmm. Now, I am you have a link to a PDF file with the complete text of the Sensenbrenner letter, and for whatever reason, it's slowly downloading on my machine right now.
It's a huge file.
In the 51 questions, did he press the point about whether President George Washington used electronic surveillance in the manner of the Bush administration? That was the amazing claim made by the Attorney General and reiterated in response to a question on Monday.
Well, I think Gonzalez has this time machine, and they've been going back and giving presidents wiretapping devices so that they can conduct surveillance, so that they have a justification.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't mention I haven't gotten through every single question. He doesn't mention Washington by name. He does talk about signals intelligence, which I think refers to, you know, intelligence of this kind of nature.
Sure, intercepts.
That have appeared before.
Yeah, you could intercept a scout or a Pony Express or a smoke signal or the one if by land, two if by sea. There were signals in George Washington's era, but Gonzalez, apparently unintentionally, lumped him together with presidents who presided over times when we did have telegraph, radio, and then television and more sophisticated telecommunications devices.
Right. I mean, I think the striking thing is if you look through it, well, the thing that stood out to me is, you know, Sensenbrenner doesn't give Conyers a lot of credit. You know, as you know, I mean, he's made Conyers hold hearings. He won't even let Conyers use the hearing room to do his own kind of inquiries. He let him, you know, he ended up in the Capitol basement, you know, to talk about the Downing Street stuff. But on this one, it looks, I mean, he actually quotes one of Conyers' witnesses. Conyers held a hearing in January that examined the wiretap. There wasn't a formal hearing because only the Republicans can hold those hearings, but there was a constitutional law professor named Lawrence Tribe who's, you know, nationally known. And Sensenbrenner quotes him twice in questions that he addresses to Gonzalez about the legality of the TAPs and whether, you know, they're justified under the Fourth Amendment.
And here's one of them I just pulled up. It's item 9, John. It says, in a January 6, 2006 letter from Professor Tribe to Congressman Conyers, the professor states that the NSA program in question, far from being authorized by Congress, flies in the face of an explicit congressional prohibition and is therefore unconstitutional without regard to the Fourth Amendment. Well, this is encouraging. Again, I haven't read this entire document, but for Sensenbrenner to recognize that Conyers has a point, given what you just described, is, well, that's a significant development.
It's astonishing, to be honest with you. I mean, it makes me wonder whether there's a hidden motivation. And that's, you know, if you look very carefully, there's a point where he refers to the program as terrorist surveillance, which, as you know, is kind of the administration parlance for the program. But I think on the whole, I mean, if he wanted to provide cover for the Bush administration, you know, he might ask a few diddling questions here or there. I don't know that he would issue a tome like this and say, Gonzalez, you have to get back to me by March 2nd, which is the due date he puts in there.
Well, that's a very heavy homework assignment. We're going to take a break and return with John Byrne. He's editor-in-chief at rawstory.com. Some of the other Raw stories we're following today is, did Jack Abramoff really get invited to Crawford, Texas, and decline because it would violate his Sabbath observance? We'll find out more about emails and other information about the connection between Bush and Abramoff. W says, I don't think I ever met him. Maybe I took a grip and grin. I don't know. That's ahead. Your calls are welcome, too, at 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made. Five.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender and about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. You can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We're Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley, bringing you Talking Matters. You may already know me as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or maybe you've seen me on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, and Good Morning America, or heard my voice on The Simpsons. But now I can invite you to join me on my own show, Talking Matters, starting right here, Saturday, February 11, 3 to 5 p.m. We'll talk about matters that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. We'll explore your dreams, secrets, hopes, and sorrows. How are you really dealing with today's world? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Tune in for inspiring stories, useful ideas, and surprising ahas. Talking Matters, live streaming on the web, and archived 24/7 at talkingmattersradio.org. So let's keep talking, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. Let's look in the rearview mirror. It's 520, and here she is, Metro Traffic's Amy Knight.
Well, if you're traveling through Watsonville, watch out for a large chain in the roadway, southbound 1 at Riverside Drive. It's in the right lane, so watch out for that. Also, 152 at Casa de Fruta, still an accident in the center divide, clearing highway patrol on the scene. And in Watsonville, Hall at San Miguel Canyon Road has police activity partially blocking the roadway there. And this report brought to you by Sleep Train. For a limited time, Sleep Train will pay your sales tax on any Beautyrest, Posturepedic, Tempur-Pedic, or Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort. Plus, on approved credit, you'll sleep free for 1 year. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back in about a half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, right here on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls are welcome here. We're going to open it up wide at the switchboard just after 5:30. Get on the line now at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. We continue our weekly update from the website rawstory.com. And in for Larissa today, it's editor-in-chief John Byrne. I guess that's her boss. We got an upgrade. And I wanted to turn now to the Abramoff case and the denials by the Bush White House that W. really knew this guy. He's been fuzzy on his recollection about Abramoff. And it kind of parallels the way he forgot about Kenny Boy Lay after the chief of Enron got into trouble. He, of course, is now on trial, and be interesting to see how all that turns out. But at Ross Story, you have links to some information from the Center for American Progress and Washingtonian Magazine that indicates that the heavy email from Jack Abramoff contradicts the assertions from the White House that Bush didn't know him.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Abramoff can say whatever he wants, and he pled guilty to a crime. You know, obviously, he's even going to be mad. But, you know, yeah, I mean, point blank, Abramoff had more visits than the White House is willing to disclose. I mean, we have filed a FOIA request for the Secret Service logs that would show any of his entrance and exits to the White House, and I know that AP and some other people have done that, too. So it's a matter of time before it comes out, certainly, as how many visits he made. But, you know, I mean, what Abramoff has expressed now, and what's interesting about this Washingtonian element, is basically what happened here was, you remember the reports about how there are photographs of Bush with Abramoff and how the White House is playing those down.
Well, they're stonewalling.
Right, they're stonewalling.
They won't release the photo.
By the Washingtonian. So what happened was Abramoff had gotten in touch with the editor of the Washingtonian, and also it appears he was the one who had shown them to Time magazine. And so he's kind of pushing the fact that he met with Bush, which is really interesting because the case obviously hasn't even come to trial.
Right.
And so this is really seems to only be the start.
And the emails quoted today, I'm just going to read a couple of passages here. This allegedly was an email from Jack Abramoff to this Kim Eisler, national editor of the Washingtonian. And it first relates to whether or not Abramoff was invited to the ranch in Crawford, Texas, in for a gathering of Bush fundraisers in 2003. And he replied, well, it was that I would have had to travel on Saturday, Shabbos, or Shabbat. Yes, I was invited during the 2004 campaign. It was Saturday, August 9th, 2003, at the ranch in Crawford. Now, that's a little conflicting there. He first says he was invited in 2004 and then references a date a year earlier. Another email kind of flies in the face that Bush can't remember meeting Abramoff. Abramoff asserts, he has one of the best memories of any politician I've ever met. It was as if his one of his trademarks, though, of course, he can't recall that he has a great memory. The guy saw me in almost a dozen settings and joked with me about a bunch of things, including details of my kids. Perhaps he has forgotten everything. Who knows? Now, you're correct to point out that these are leaks that are intentional from Abramoff, and they are intended to link him to people who clearly are trying to distance themselves. And this could be simple payback, because after all, he's already pled guilty. But it also seems to be hints of what may come out in his testimony in the subsequent trials we expect to see.
Right. I mean, I would probably put it between, you know, what the liberal, far liberal side is saying and what the White House is saying. I mean, certainly he raised money for the president, which, you know, a lot of people raise money for the president, so that's not of itself a huge thing. But, you know, the fact that he showed up at the White House, you know, I mean, it seems probable at least, you know, five to ten times. But, you know, we will only know for certain until the logs are released. And I'm pretty sure they will release the logs because I don't know if you remember the prostitute Jeff Gannon, who was at the White House. And, you know, they were forced to turn over all records of how many times he came in and out.
Mm-hmm. And I want to turn to one more story that Raw Story published on January 31st under your byline, John Byrne, and it relates to the Lincoln Group. This is the firm that got a sweetheart contract worth at least $100 million to manage perceptions of the U.S. in Iraq. And we know that some of the tactics they used were to they generated stories favorable to the United States and then paid Iraqi newspapers to publish them without identifying the source or the payment. And you were able to access through a blogger named Michael Petrelis some of the contract papers between the Defense Department and the Lincoln Group. Give us a quick sketch of what those documents show.
Sure. I mean, basically, it's a contract document which has a lot of, you know, unexciting information in it. And a lot of it was reported in the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times when they first revealed it. But basically what it outlines is, you know, what the Pentagon wanted from the Lincoln Group. And one thing, you know, as point of background, is that the Lincoln Group was basically set up by people who were eminently unqualified. I mean, kind of reminds you of the Brownie at FEMA.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a group of people who had ties to the president through political reasons. And, you know, they were tasked with going, like you said, going to Iraq and setting up an information operation. And it lays out in more detail, you know, how they would approach it. But the contract that I actually have up is not specific to Iraq. This is a worldwide contract, and I think it's kind of gotten lost. I mean, what you're talking about is the Pentagon paying $100 million to an organization that doesn't seem to have many qualifications to spread information all across the world. And what's most striking about it is there's no limitations. And this kind of is the same as the NSA. I mean, they say that it's only for international calls, but nobody really knows. And this, it doesn't say, you know, what country. It says, you know, go to these countries, make focus groups that will study, you know, their perception of the United States, and then make, you know, favorable impressions of the United States. And there's little limitation on disclosure, you know, whether they're, you know, things are going to pop up in the foreign press. And that's the thing probably that's the most troubling is that Rumsfeld actually admitted in another declassified report that some of this information will leach back into the United States. So what they're saying is we're paying these people to do propaganda abroad, but there's no reason to know whether or not it's going to get back into the U.S. press. So there may be things that are showing up in the U.S. press that were planted by the Pentagon. You know, which is just kind of raises really, really disturbing implications about the media.
Well, it has something to say about our freedom and our democracy, too. John Byrne, thank you for joining us today, and thanks for your work at Raw Story.
Thank you.
John Byrne, the editor-in-chief, visit the website, rawstory.com. My lines are open for you for the rest of the hour, 899-5792 Central Coast, 888-579-2540, toll-free on The Peter Bee Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Please join House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi and former White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta as they celebrate Congressman Sam Farr's 30 years of public service. Sunday, February 12th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey, local and national leaders will pay tribute to Sam's work on behalf of the Central Coast and the nation. That's Sunday, February 12th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey, starting at 6 p.m. For tickets or information, call 373-4607. That's 373-4607. Authorized and paid for by the Friends of Farr Committee.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B., your humble host on the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are open to hear from you. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. North Coast or anywhere else, if you're listening online, call me at 1-888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. And our thanks to Thomas Dolby. She blinded me with science. Interesting connections. And just to show you how my twisted mind works, I save clippings for stories that I sometimes don't get around to. And this story was datelined the 28th of January, so it's been sitting on my little desk over here for about 10 days now. And I clipped it because I was so proud of a government employee who became a whistleblower and would not submit to political intimidation from the Bush administration. And our hero of this minute is James E. Hansen, a top NASA climate scientist. And he went public after a new employee at NASA tried to get him to change some publications that he was about to issue related to climate change and other scientific issues. And this guy Hansen refused to submit. He said they feel their job is to be censor of information going out to the public. So, the shoe has dropped, the other shoe. And now we learn who it was tasked by the administration to police the scientific expression of James Hansen at NASA. A 24-year-old kid, a presidential appointee at NASA, named George C. Deutsch. And we now know about Mr. Deutsch because he has resigned from NASA. His resignation came on the same day that officials at Texas A&M University confirmed that he did not graduate from there, as his resume on file at the agency asserted. So he is gone, and most recently, he jammed a climate scientist and told a web designer to add the word theory at every mention of the Big Bang in a scientific document that this person was writing. Mr. Deutsch's educational record was first challenged on Monday by Nick Anthus, who graduated from Texas A&M last year. And after he read about the problems, he said it seemed like a political figure had really overstepped the line. I was just going to write some commentary on this when somebody tipped me off that George Deutsch might not have graduated. Another great appointment, another fine American, selected by the Bush administration to interfere with the operations of a government agency. To your calls now, again, my number is 831-899-5792. Or you can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. Dennis in King City, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Peter B. I want to make a couple comments about the cartoons, and then I want to defend myself finally after a month.
Okay.
But I first wanted to say, is it Marjorie Cohen?
Cohen, C-O-H-N.
She's a great guest, and she should be hired by the Democratic Party to give them advice. They need people like this to give them talking points and tell them like it is.
Well, I don't disagree with that. You could send a note to Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi and make that suggestion.
Right. On the cartoons, I heard that the Muslims have put out the word that they want to know more cartoons about Mohammed because they didn't want any more suicide bombers because they're running out of virgins.
Ooh. Well, the whole thing, Dennis, has turned into an ugly circus. And to imagine that this was triggered by a cartoon is just so farcical in and of itself. And, of course, we can see that the efforts, these demonstrations and violent actions are being at least tolerated, if not promoted, by certain governments. And it was interesting, we carry the CBS Network News in Monterey, and I heard a soundbite from Condoleezza Rice earlier today. And she criticized the governments of Syria and Iran for, in her view, promoting these outbursts and, you know, the violence and destruction of property, misguided and misaimed at Danish people and now Norwegians. And, I mean, they really are pretty irrational about the way they're conducting this response. But it was interesting that Secretary Rice did not include Saudi Arabia,
right,
where there have been such street actions. She didn't mention Pakistan, where there have been ugly responses. And she forgot about Afghanistan, which, of course, is the 52nd state of the United States, where some of these riots and at least five deaths have occurred as well. So it is always interesting to hear the selective outrage of the Bush administration.
They want to go into Iran in the worst way, you know that.
And that's a very scary prospect.
Absolutely it is. And that could be a big problem. The other one was on the battle-hardened cartoon. I think the cartoonist kind of missed a boat on that one. I think what he was trying to say is that, you know, we're just asking too much of our soldiers. And what he should have done is have arrows pointing to his missing limbs, and he should have said, first tour of duty, you know, what happened, the second tour of duty, and the third tour of duty. I mean, they're overworking our soldiers.
Well, there's no
question about that. They're asking too much of them.
They're not only asking too much, but they're asking them to do things that many of them were not trained for.
That's right. Listen, as far as defending myself, about a month ago, I just before your power went out, or goes low for us,
mm-hmm.
A woman called up and didn't like the term lockstep. I don't know if you remember it.
I don't right now.
Oh, okay. Well, she referred
lockstep
to the caller that used the term lockstep.
Lockstep with whom, though?
With me. I called you and I said I wanted to see the Democrats mark in lockstep. I'm sorry, lockstep together.
Right.
And I meant it as unison, you know, in sync.
Right.
Together. And she called up and was offended by the word lockstep, and I didn't hear what it was.
Oh, okay.
Was it because she was thinking of the Nazi goose step? Was that it?
I honestly don't recall the exchange, Dennis.
Well, anyway, I looked up an answers.com, and it basically says what I said, you know, unison, in sync, and so forth. And to me, it's an argument. It seems like you get that argument from the right. They seem to forget about the substance that we're trying to say and pick one word to start an argument about.
Yeah.
And not listen to the substance of your argument.
Well, I believe that the frame of reference was about Alito and the confirmation hearings and the prospect of a filibuster. Is that right?
No, I don't think it was. This was about a month ago,
okay.
and the lady was from up north, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she just said, I wish the caller wouldn't use lockstep.
Well, I was not offended by it, Dennis.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you weren't.
I think the Democrats could use some dance training.
Yep.
So that they could all get their steps coordinated.
Absolutely. They got to get their act together. We run out of time.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
You're welcome to defend yourself next time you're attacked. Paula in Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
Grooving on this weather. You're right. It's nice.
It's fabulous, isn't it?
Listen, I heard the head of the ACLU from New Mexico speaking about a clinical nurse specialist who works for the VA, or did work for the VA, and a month before the fall elections, she wrote a letter to the editor of a non-mainstream paper, I believe, but, advocating that we need to, make changes in our government, and somehow that letter reached someone, and the VA came, and they took her computer at work to ascertain if she'd written the letter from work, which she had not, and basically they fired her, and she's been charged with sedition.
Really?
Yes. And so the ACLU is going to defend her against this, but I found that quite frightening, in light of everything else that's going on.
You bet. Now, Paula, if you could send me information on that, I'd be happy to track this sedition person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you describe a sedator? I don't know if there is a noun version of sedition.
And just to skip to another thing, when you guys were mentioning the other day, I was driving home and I heard you guys talking about President Carter's remarks.
Yeah.
With regard to Bush and his, feeling of the legality of this. And, that really wasn't in any of the mainstream papers. If you guys hadn't have mentioned that, I really didn't see that anywhere.
I think you're right.
And I found that quite frightening as well, to think that someone...
And Jimmy Carter's getting a little bit of heat along with Reverend Lowry for his comments at the funeral of Coretta Scott King yesterday.
And I wouldn't have heard that on the mainstream either. They really did breeze right through that, just made it, really just a small thing. But then when you hear the actual tape of it, quite powerful.
Indeed, and for President Carter to take the opportunity in front of President Bush to acknowledge that Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King were wiretapped and harassed. I mean, the COINTEL program is something I happen to know a great deal about because at one point I thought I was a subject of it. And I did a lot of broadcasting about COINTEL Pro and about some of the cases that surfaced from it, including the murder of Fred Hampton, who was a Black Panther who was active on the west side of Chicago in the 60s, and he was dispatched, killed, in his bed by armed police and FBI agents who stormed his house because they had an informant. And the informant was so good and so well-placed that he could provide a map of the apartment. And they were able to murder Fred Hampton without killing his pregnant girlfriend who was sleeping right next to him. And that just gives you a little insight to the depths of the counterintelligence program that was active in this country in the late 60s and early 70s under Nixon and J. Edgar Hoover at the FBI. And I appreciate Jimmy Carter's reference to that at the funeral yesterday.
Absolutely.
Because I think people need to be reminded.
If you hadn't have even brought it forward, I wouldn't have even known that President Carter had such a thing to say. So
yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Paula, great
Peter
to hear from you. Thanks for calling today. And email me with the information about the woman in New Mexico. We'll follow up on that. I'd love to hear more about that. More of your calls coming up right after a quick break. Join me, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is an IRA distribution specialist. Other than your home, your retirement plan is probably the largest investment you have. And you have a choice. You can pass it on to your beneficiaries as a legacy, or it can be left as an IOU to Uncle Sam. Chaos can lead to confusion. Most financial advisors cannot help or answer such questions like, why should my IRA not be in my trust? Should there be a separate IRA for each beneficiary? Is there a way to set up a multi-generation stretch IRA? Michelle Ashen, a certified estate planner and IRA distribution expert, is offering a 30-minute free consultation, which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0236.
KRXA 540 with one more look at your traffic ride on the way home. Here's Amy Knight.
Getting reports of debris in the southbound lanes of Highway 1 as you make your way through Moss Landing, a large water container in the middle of the roadway, so drive with caution. Also, an accident in Watsonville, Highway 152 at Beverly Drive, a two-car collision, and looks like local police on scene taking a report. Everything checking in clear on Highway 101, Prunedale, Salinas, as you make your way down into Greenfield and Gonzales, and Highway 68 also moving well between Monterey and Salinas as well. For a limited time, Sleep Train will pay your sales tax on any Beautyrest, Posturepedic, Tempur-Pedic, or Stearns & Foster mattress set. Plus, on approved credit, you'll sleep free for up to 1 year. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check you out tomorrow.
Okay, great.
You've got yourself the Peter B. Collins radio talk program thingy.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming. Spooky little thing called global warming.
Thank you, Dr. Elmo. I'm Peter B., and a few minutes ago I referenced the whistleblower from NASA who had published a report on climate change, global warming, and got a lot of heat. In fact, they tried to censor his report, and this is, of course, in the Bush administration, a phrase I've used many times before. When you hit the intersection of politics and science in 9 out of 7 cases, the Bush administration will choose politics over science. Well, it's interesting to see that despite the lock that the Republicans appear to have on evangelical Christians, a group of 86 Christian leaders have decided to back a major initiative to fight global warming, saying that millions of people could die in this century because of climate change, most of them our poorest global neighbors. Now, this is a breakthrough. Because for these religious leaders to not only recognize the problem, but have the courage to buck the political currents to enunciate this, I think is very important. And it includes some rather conservative individuals. Although Ted Haggard of the National Association of Evangelicals did not join the 86 leaders And neither did Richard Cizik, the National Association's Washington lobbyist, even though he helped persuade other leaders to sign the Global Warming Initiative. Haggard is this fellow from Colorado Springs who is very influential with the Bush administration and part of the axis of Christianity that has taken over that portion of Colorado. And so it's interesting to see how this will play out. I was first alerted to this by an email from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, who wanted to trot out one of their phony scientists to debunk the work of these evangelicals. And, well, I hit delete. That's what I did. I hit delete. Jake in Arcata, welcome. You're on the air today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Not too bad.
You know, these Republicans, if they have any instinct for self-preservation at all, these Republican rats are going to start jumping off the sinking ship pretty quick here.
I hope so.
Yeah, hopefully they will. You know, I guess Heather Wilson's the one the first to go. And
maybe we ought to put a little lifeboat together that says constitutional principle on it.
That's right. That's right. I thought the Republican Party had principles. What happened to them? I mean, basically, it's all about power now. It's all about getting Bush elected, getting John McCain elected now. I mean, they don't have any principles. Hell, look at John McCain. He sold out every last principle he had as a Republican. I mean, hell, Bush trashed his family, trashed his wife, his child, and John McCain still kisses up to Bush. That's what kind of Republican Party you have, a bunch of sellouts as far as I'm concerned. Now, going on,
and there
to,
are,
you have some unfortunate problems, Peter, in the Democratic Party. You were talking about Hillary Clinton earlier and
right,
the Maureen Dowd call.
Jake, just a sec. I want to make a quick comment about McCain before we move on to the Democrats.
Okay.
He does have moments, and because of his stature, you know, he did lead the debate over the torture clause, the torture ban that he got, you know, amended to the defense appropriation bill. He, of course, has remained silent since they basically took the foundation out from under that using the presidential signing statement. So he has a Pyrrhic victory. And I generally agree with you. John McCain benefits from a rosy image that he does not deserve. He's an arch-conservative, corporate Republican, and there are many people who have a much more favorable impression of him because he comes off as a straight-talking so-and-so.
Well, right. You know, he talks about, you know, campaign finance reform when, in fact, he was, you know, involved in the Keating scandals, if we remember those.
I sure do.
But talking about Hillary Clinton, it's interesting that you pointed out the Maureen Dowd column where she said that the Republicans, you know, even though they're trying to marginalize Hillary, Hillary's already beaten them to the punch. She's marginalized herself. On all these issues, the Iraq war, you know, NSA, spying, all of these things, she has missed the opportunity to lead the Democratic Party. And I'm with you. I think we can do better. The country can do better than Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is just not up to the job, unfortunately. Maybe somebody like Russ Feingold, who voted against the Patriot Act, who's fought against the Iraq War, who's fought for our Constitution. We need somebody who's going to stand up for our constitutional principles, not people who are just willing to sell us out for, you know, their own personal ambition. And unfortunately, that's all I really see in Hillary.
I agree with you, and I do think that Feingold offers a lot. In the last few years, about the only thing that comes to mind that I'm critical of him for is he did vote for Justice Roberts. And I still don't quite understand why. At the same time, he has provided tremendous leadership, as you point out, on the Patriot Act, on the issues of the war. I read some excerpts from his floor statement from Tuesday about the NSA spying scandal, and he's very blunt and I think very persuasive. I hope that others around the country see the same potential in him that you and I do.
Well, that's right, and I hope they will, because he is a plain-spoken man, and he gets straight to the point. Unfortunately, that's something John Kerry could not do. You know, he was in the Senate too long, I guess. But Feingold has remembered that you're trying to communicate to the voters what you want to do as a party. And what we want to do as a Democratic Party, first of all, is clean up Washington, number one, and number two, take back our country for us, the people of America. I mean, they're taking all our money and throwing it down a rat hole in Iraq for what? Just so Halliburton can make some more money? Nah, Cheney, Bush, Rumsfeld, they should all be impeached, Peter.
Well, and we will get to these kind of one by one. I have resisted the temptation to spend a lot of time on the proposed budget that Bush submitted on Monday because most of it will never come to life. But the incredible and cynical proposals, including a cut to the Social Security death benefit, it's $255. And anybody who needs that money, needs it for a funeral, needs it for the final hospital bills of a loved one. And to imagine that they're willing to cut that death benefit, plus the there's a subsidy for teenagers who lose their parents between the age of 16 and 18, and they want to wipe that out. And they want to do that so that they can irresponsibly and in total recklessness extend the tax cuts for the rich on into the future, despite the fact that we know how irresponsible it is because we don't know what kind of revenues there are going to be 5 or 7 years down the line. But they don't care about that, and they don't care about average people. They're willing to cut those measly benefits in order to make rich people even richer. And that speaks volumes, and I hope people hear it.
I think they will, Peter. You know, the Republican Party is bankrupting this country with their irresponsible policies. We can't afford Bush or McCain or any of these people anymore. We need Democrats. We need responsible leadership. And with the Republican Party, frankly, they're just a joke.
All right, Jake, thanks a lot. You get the final word today from callers. One more story I have a little time for. One of the things we've followed on this program is what's called the congressional earmark. And that's when your representative attaches a little earmark to a bill so that some cash can come into their district. Some of these earmarks are for worthy projects, worthy causes, worthy efforts. Many are not, and the most egregious example is the Bridge to Nowhere in Alaska. Well, there has been a proposal from Senator Feinstein and Senator Lott not to end the practice, but to simply make the process a little more transparent and a little more public. And frankly, I think we need to end the process altogether. And what we're seeing is that our elected leaders in Washington are going to push through some sort of earmark reform, which will be an empty gesture. And John Boehner, who is the new House Majority Leader, is backpedaling from his earlier promise to rein in earmarks, 15,000 of them last year alone. Pardon me. And, well, it's an insult to our intelligence, and it's often a huge waste of taxpayer money. I want to thank you for joining me today. We'll be back at you tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. with more live, unscripted, unrehearsed progressive talk from Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. I'm Peter B. Collins. This program is produced by Matt Renner. Join me again tomorrow right here. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket
in Aptos.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is
necessitates the evacuation of the building. The detectors are checked, and they've gotten much better now at figuring out what set them off.
If it's the case that it's just another simple false alarm, all well and good, but until that final word comes in, of course, no one can completely relax there in Washington. The Senate was buzzing with a different kind of excitement earlier today.
We've got to fix this problem. The American people are holding us in very low esteem because of the way that we do business here in Washington.
That's Senator John McCain, long a proponent of reforming the lobby business on Capitol Hill. Bipartisan support now. Democrats say they will work together to make substantive changes in the way they all interact with the lobbyists. In Los Angeles, at the Grammy Awards show, CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato now joins us live.
Now she's a Grammy idol.
Since you've been gone!
Kelly Clarkson, an upset winner for Best Pop Female Vocalist, kicking off a night expected to be dominated by someone who has won that award before, Mariah Carey. Carey already has 3 Grammys. Kanye West just won his 3rd. U2 has 2 and brought down the house here with a set with Mary J. Blige. The woman with the most Grammys ever has added to her stash. Alison Krauss with Union Station, Best Country Album. Live in Los Angeles, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
As we have all gotten older, some of us have been wondering why we are so easily distracted. It's because the brain doesn't work like it used to.
By scanning the healthy brains of young, middle-aged, and elderly people, researchers learned beginning at about 40, 2 areas of the brain begin to get out of kilter. This is significant. The 2 areas are key to focusing on a single task and tuning out unwanted thoughts. And it's happening earlier than previously.